Welcome to the Harvest Podcast, where capital markets, growth, and disruption collide. Today, we bring you more revelatory insights from emerging growth companies.
Hi, and welcome to another revelatory episode here with me, Carmel Fisher, where we bring you all the nuggets of information and bits of due diligence that you could do given the capital markets and all the volatility, the changes out there. There's a lot going on, but today we're excited to spotlight Numa Resources. And with me, I have Chairman and CEO, John D. Kunz. Welcome, Dr. John, or is it Mr. John?
Mr. John, how are you?
Very, very good. I know that you're also an established author. We're excited to dive, firstly, obviously, into Numa Resources. And then you can obviously tell us a little bit more about your authorship and what drives that passion later on in the conversation.
Sure.
John, so as a start, we want to hear more about Numa Resources. Give us a brief overview. Tell us what the company does and what the main focus is, perhaps for the next 2 years.
Sure. Numa Resources is focused on infrastructure development in the autonomous region of Bougainville, which is currently a political unit of Papua New Guinea, although they want to be independent. And the reason we're focused there is because Bougainville has a very, very significant resources, not just mineral resources, which a lot of people know about, but also fisheries and exotic timber and so forth. So it's a real opportunity if one can put up with the current pretty limited economic development going on.
Right. And that leads me, you know, pretty well into my next thought and conversation and question. But before I go there, I want to say that you have built an impressive foundation with the landowner agreements and the government support that no other company really has achieved in Bougainville. But as you move forward toward a public listing, walk us through the potential and the key milestones that our investors should be looking out for.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, getting the trust and respect of Bougainvillians is obviously critical to not only our mission, but the mission of anybody who wants to do business in Bougainville. And the way to do that is not to be presumptuous enough to think that what you want to do is the most important thing, rather to appeal to the Bougainvillians and ask them what would they like to see. But Bougainville is a very plentiful place in terms of resources, but they did suffer through a civil war called a crisis about 40 years ago. So they need to rebuild their economy to not only develop a prosperous way of life, but to hopefully enable them to become independent from Papua New Guinea. So our mission is to not only develop resources with them in Bougainville, but certainly take advantage of the current rabid appetite for the metals which can be mined and found in Bougainville, namely copper and gold and silver, and to use that to become a public company sometime in the next 6 to 8 months.
Wonderful. Tell me more specifically about milestones related to mining license approvals, infrastructure assessments, partner selections, any of those sorts of things, and perhaps timelines that could be allocated to each.
Yes. Well, first of all, I first learned of this opportunity 10 years ago when some chiefs from Bougainville came into my office. I've been in the investment and development business of infrastructure assets around the United States first and then overseas for 40 some odd years. They acquainted me with the opportunity, but said they needed some help because they couldn't do it all themselves. That was roughly 10 years ago. So what I learned is what they're trying to do is develop their economy enough so that they can succeed in becoming independent from Papua New Guinea. As I mentioned, there was a civil war, essentially fought over the one big mine that was developed in Bougainville. It's called the Panguna Mine. And that war created a huge problem there. 20,000 people, or roughly 10% of the population, died. And so they needed to rebuild the mine in order to achieve independence, which was provided to them through a peace agreement that the United Nations oversaw at the end of that civil war. So what we have to do now is, as you mentioned, get the right to mine and then pursue mining activities in Bougainville. That starts with getting approval, not from the government, but from the landowners, because according to the constitution that Bougainville was able to get with the UN oversight in their peace agreement in 2001, the resources in Bougainville belong to the landowners, not to the government. The government is a regulator only. So what we've been doing with those people, believe it or not, it takes a long time, first of all, to convince them that me, a foreigner, is someone they can trust. And that takes years to convince them of. The next thing is to say, okay, now that we can get along and you know that I respect you and want to work with you to achieve your ends, here's what we have to do. And ultimately, what that means is we've got to bring big mining companies to Bougainville. Top 10 gold and copper mining companies, construction companies, metal buyers, et cetera. People with the roughly $3.5 billion it's going to take to rebuild the Panguna mine and then to explore for other mining properties nearby in Bougainville. So to do that, what we have done is we have organized companies with the landowners, and there are three highly prospective areas that we've focused on. Panguna, which is the home of the big mine, and then the two places next to Panguna that the original mining company, when they came to Bougainville, thought those places could be sites of another Panguna mine or two. So those areas, Panguna, Mainoki, and Corrado, those landowners have formed three separate corporations with us, and we are now all together shareholders in those corporations, which, among other things, own those resources. And yes, you are correct. No one else has done anything like that in Bougainville. That's what you get when you've been there for 10 years and been able to get the trust and respect of the landowners. Now we're trying to not only invite the mining companies, but also get the government to approve our going forward with those mining companies. Now, in turn, the last thing, I'm sorry for such a long-winded answer, but it's not a simple situation. The most important thing we need to do is get the support of the United States of America for what we're doing. Why? There are two reasons, and they're both interconnected. No mining company is going to go to a place like Bougainville, which is very remote. And don't forget, it was fraught by a very injurious civil war. No big mining company is going to go there and spend $3.5 billion without the support, really, of the only country in the world that can give them comfort, which would be the United States. Furthermore, the support of the United States would also enable Bougainville to convince the rest of the world that they not only deserve to be independent, but they can prosper and they will have the support of the United States in doing that. Now, why would the United States do all that? There are two key reasons. First of all is the fact that the Panguna mine sitting there today, it has been shut down for almost 40 years, but it still contains roughly $100 billion of silver, gold, and copper in its walls, number one. But that's not the most important reason why the United States wants to work with Bougainville. Bougainville is right on the front line with the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party in all the conflict that is ongoing and sure to continue in the Western Pacific. So if the United States could support Bougainville to be a free and democratic country and also to be prosperous, that's a pretty good thing for them to focus on.
Wonderful. Very detailed and thorough response there. Thank you. So it sounds like there are a lot of sustainable competitive advantages that would come from those partnerships you mentioned with the Bougainville inhabitants, but then also very much attached to a potential government solid support of the project there. Tell us now how you would, or what steps you're taking to de-risk the project, over and above everything else you've told us, but are there other steps you're taking to de-risk the project and demonstrate tangible progress that will build investor confidence as you approach the public markets?
Yeah. The first step, as I've already mentioned, but I'll just underscore it, you can't do anything in Bougainville without the clear and direct support of the customary landowners who own the land and the resources. So we've been obviously successful in doing that. The second thing to de-risk the project is to get the clear support of the government, which is called the ABG, the Autonomous Bougainville Government, or ABG. When I first got there, a man named John Momus was the president of the country. He was an ex-priest. He is still alive, a very intelligent man. However, he was not very businesslike. He wasn't really experienced in business. And so the country really didn't advance itself in terms of advancing its economic development goals. I realized that if we didn't get someone elected, because Mr. Momus, the Constitution only allows someone to be elected for 2 5-year terms, and he was getting to the end of his term, his second term, I realized we needed to get somebody who would be highly intelligent and even more rare, absolutely incorruptible, to be the president of the Autonomous Region of Bougainville. That's a very difficult thing to do in that part of the world. Ishmael Tororama, who was the leader of the Bougainville effort in the crisis to defeat the armed forces of Papua New Guinea, was that man. So I befriended Ishmael and he befriended me. We became very close. And my company and I and our shareholders supported his, first of all, initiative to convince everyone to vote in the independence referendum that was caused by the UN agreement all the way back in 2001. They said you have to conduct an independence referendum within 20 years if you want to go forward with independence, which was happening in 2019. And then there was going to be an election for president in 2020. So he approached me and I went back to my shareholders and we agreed to support him, even though we're really not politically oriented. We knew that that was important because if Ishmael wasn't elected, someone would get elected who might be, for example, favorable to the Chinese. So first of all, we supported Ishmael in the independence referendum. Thanks to Ishmael, that referendum passed with 97.7% of the Bougainvillians voting to become members of an independent country. And then in a very nip and tuck election with 25 candidates, we were able to work with him to achieve his victory in the first presidential candidate, election in September of 2020. Ishmael has just been successfully reelected for his second term in this past September. And so we're looking forward to working with him to de-risk the project politically, which was the next big thing we need to do. The third thing we need to do is to get the people to understand that this mine, the Panguna mine, which many people think caused the strife, caused the war, is something they also need to revitalize and rebuild because it can pay for their independence. That has been a big education. Again, a lot of people initially would say in Bougainville, well, no, the mine caused the war. Let's just be an agricultural society. What we have, working with Ishmael and the landowner chiefs, have been able to show people is, no, you can't pay for independence unless you rebuild the mine. But if you rebuild the mine, Bougainville would become an outlier in the South Pacific. The average GDP per capita in the South Pacific is about $2,500 to $3,000 per person. If that mine, just that mine, not fisheries, not other mines, if the Panguna mine itself was rebuilt, the GDP per capita would be over $20,000. So those are the things we've done. Work with the landowners, work with the government and its leader, Ismail Tororama, and then finally, work with the people of Bougainville. Lastly, we took Ismail to Washington 2 years ago when Joe Biden was the president of the United States. And we met with a lot of politicians in Washington and said, Bougainville needs your support. And most of those politicians were very, very interested in doing that. However, Mr. Biden had his issues. I'm not going to get into any politics. So we were not able to close the deal. However, the Trump administration is a very different administration and wants to pursue deals like this around the world. So we're very now optimistic that the last part of de-risking, which is getting the United States involved, is about to happen.
Excellent. Now, given your successful track record, taking five infrastructure companies public, if I'm not mistaken, including listing China Hydroelectric on the NYSE, how will you be applying those lessons to structure Numa's capital strategy?
Yes, I've been able to do that. Thank you. It's always difficult. However, I think in doing that, I have earned the trust of investors, particularly institutional investors, who recognize that I know my way around running a public company in terms of regulations and rules and so forth and so on, and that I'm also reasonably accomplished in getting the word out as to what our plans will be to investors around the world. So we have clear plans to work with lawyers, accountants, other experts to get us listed, as I was saying, in the next 6 to 8 months. We have talked to regulators in both the New York and U.S. markets, as well as the Toronto markets, because obviously a lot of mining companies like us are publicly listed in Toronto. We're not sure which way we will go, but we're comfortable that we have done this before and we can do it again.
Sounds good. You're inviting mining companies to partner on development. Are you in active discussions with potential Tier 1 operators who could bring not just capital, a technical expertise and operational credibility?
Yes, we are. There are very few top 10 copper or gold mining companies, as well as construction companies and even metals companies like Trafigura, for example, even Elon Musk's companies, who are interested in what we're doing in Bougainville. Why? Well, that's very simple. Just in terms of copper, Bougainville has 5% of the world's copper just in the Panguna mine alone, let alone what we will probably find in Minoki and Corrado. It has 1% of the world's gold in Panguna alone. So the copper is more than all the copper currently being mined in Canada, for example. So they're all interested, but I go back to your question about de-risking. They also need to know that most importantly, that the landowners are on board. I mean, if there's going to be problems in mining around the world, whether you're in Panama or Ecuador or Peru, as well as Bougainville, it starts with the landowners. The landowners are the best advocates of what we're doing. As a matter of fact, I would say to you, I doubt that there's any place in the world where the landowners are more enthusiastic about getting this mine rebuilt than they are in Bougainville.
Very interesting. Just to touch on this flagship Panguna opportunity, you're developing limestone production, road infrastructure, and electric utilities, essentially building Bougainville's industrial foundation. How is this diversified approach going to enhance the investment thesis, firstly, and then are these infrastructure assets potential near-term revenue generators that could fund exploration at Minoki and Corrado? I think you may have touched on that. Or is the strategy higher level to position Numa Numa as an integrated development partner that will capture value across the entire mining ecosystem?
Well, listen, I don't mean to flatter you, but you are a very observant person, and you put your finger right on our basic strategy, which is we're not just a mining company. We're not even just an infrastructure development company. What we're trying to do is we've found a place, Bougainville, that has incredible resources, not just minerals, but fisheries and so forth, and as well as a lovely people. And our goal, therefore, is to be the number one or among the number one or two commercial enterprises in that land. Now, to do that, everything circles around or centers on the Panguna Mine. It is the jewel in the crown. However, you've also pointed out that to rebuild the Panguna Mine, let's start with the most basic thing. You're going to need lime. Why? Because this is a porphyry copper and gold mine, and mines like that need high quality lime to mix in the concentrators to separate the copper from the gold. So we are also redeveloping the Manitai limestone quarry and calcination plant, which supplied that lime. Okay, so we can't do anything in Panguna until we get the lime, because otherwise we have to import it from someplace else, and it was way too expensive even in the original mine until they discovered the high quality deposits in Manitai. Next, you need roads. It's very mountainous up there. Back in World War II, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers built roads over the mountains so that our troops, which were stationed on the west side of the island, could fight the Japanese on the east side of the island. Those roads need to be redeveloped and reconstructed. We are doing that ourselves now. Again, it's not just about mining, but you've got to have the ancillary infrastructure. Next, electricity. There was a 125 megawatt diesel-fired power plant at Arrowa that provided electricity for all of central Bougainville. The crisis eliminated that. We've got to completely rebuild the electric system there. Now, one of my areas of expertise, and I don't have that many, but is hydroelectric power. So we have designed a system to capture the abundant hydro resources in the area. So all of those things, yes, are centered around the Panguna Mine, but as you've observed yourself, it's a more integrated overall strategy. Now, some people may not like that. Some people may say, no, I just want you to focus on gold and copper. Well, the problem is, in Bougainville, you can't just focus on gold and copper. You got to have the road, you got to have the mine, you got to have the electricity. So that's one of the reasons I've had to be there 10 years. It's not something that you can just fly in and do overnight.
Definitely a lot of personal investment, in, of course, on a business level as well. Speaking of this market timing and the copper gold super cycle, you're bringing this opportunity to market as Goldman Sachs projects gold at $4,900 per ounce. And then copper demand is set to double by 2035 with critically constrained supply. Okay, so with Panguna's proven reserves representing 1% of global gold reserves and copper resources equal to 70% of Canada's total, the timing does seem compelling, right? But how would you then position the investment narrative? Is it a leveraged bet on the commodity supercycle, a unique geopolitical infrastructure play, or a combination of the two?
It's a combination of the two. Everything you just said about the timing, just with respect to the metals markets, means we've got to take advantage of this opportunity. We just must. We've got to get public, furthermore, because people aren't going to invest in a private company. They're going to need the liquidity of the public markets. However, there's also terrific timing with respect to who's in the White House. This is an administration that wants to make deals and wants to protect our Western Pacific situation, okay? So that timing is perfect. The next thing is the Bougainvillean people have run out of time. the right for them to achieve independence is not a perpetual right. It came to them in the Bougainville Peace Agreement administered by the United Nations. If they don't do something now, they're going to lose their chance. So all of that has congealed into right now. We've got to get public. We've got to get the mine rebuilt. Bougainville's got to get independent. The United States has to get a beachhead in that part of the world to protect our flanks and protect the allies' flanks. So it's now or never.
And why Numa Numa Resources? Why should investors back you? What sets you apart from the rest?
Let's just talk. As I've told you, we're actually an integrated infrastructure company, but let's just talk about Golden Copper for a minute. If you talk about a greenfield mine with the magnitude of the Panguna mine, let alone adding Corrado and Minoki, you're talking about someplace out in the jungle that's going to take 20 years to develop and to achieve any kind of cash flow and returns. The Bougainville opportunity is completely different. It's a brownfield place. Now, usually brownfield deals are vastly impeded by the politics, but we've de-risked that. So the politics is wide open. So right now, you can't find a place where the ability to come in and plunk down a significant investment, admittedly, can turn into money in the time frame that we're talking about in Bougainville. It would be about $3.5 billion. And if it were invested today, the mining company who did that is going to be producing in about 3.5 years.
Excellent. I've learned so much. We look forward to getting nearer to that public listing and then obviously keeping our viewers and audience informed of the happenings with Numa Numa Resources. I've been chatting with Chairman and CEO, Mr. John Kunes. Thank you so much. And you guys, stay tuned for more.
Brought to you, as always, by The Harvest Podcast, available anywhere you listen to podcasts.